the Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
All right, you're very welcome back. It is Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock. 53106 is the text number if you want to get in touch. Football show coming up at 9 o'clock. It's another classic game club special. Ireland, Italy, USA 94. I'll be joined by the Dundalk manager, Vinnie Perth, and former Ireland international, David Myler, to reflect on that. We'll hear from Johnny Sexton later in the hour as well. But right now, I'm delighted to be joined by Patsy McGonigal, who for a quarter of a century, well, probably one of the most recognisable faces in Irish athletics. He was the Irish athletics team manager, oversaw two Olympic medals, 9 world championship medals, 27 European championship medals between indoors and outdoors. Patsy, where did it all go wrong?
Where did it all go wrong? I never looked at things going wrong, really, so I'm not going to even answer that question.
Yeah, not a bad career at all, from your first championship as team manager at the World Championships in Seoul in 1991 all the way up to London in 2017. You talk about it in your new book, Relentless, A Race Through Time. Athletics, obviously, something that was always just in your blood.
Well, yes, I mean, everybody has a reason for being in the sport that they are, and I was at boarding school in Derry, and I was a boarder there, so I was introduced to athletics. So I kind of, as I say, to use a pun, I ran with it all my life after that, and it provided a career. I ended up as a lecturer in sport in the LYIT and then at Kenny for many, many years. So it was good to me, and I was fortunate that I got the opportunity, and I suppose I would say that I took the opportunity, and it's something I keep building to the young people nowadays. Many opportunities come along, but are you going to take them, or are you going to let them pass you by? So for me, yes, it was athletics.
Sport is in a totally different place now, and when you stepped aside in 2017 to where it was when you took over as Irish team manager in 1991, can you talk to us about being offered the job at that stage and what you thought being Irish athletics team manager involved?
Well, way back in those early days, I mean, it was just like an extension of running, your own club and indeed bringing your own enthusiasm and passion and energy to it and just rolling it out as you saw it. And I was fortunate enough that my club, Finn Valley, had been successful and were continuing to be successful. So I'd been into Europe quite a lot of times for the European Champions Cup representing Ireland with Finn Valley. So, I was beginning to get that taste for it. And, I just probably continued my managerial kind of format really from the clubs right into the country, and the first team that I managed would have been a junior team under 20, and obviously under 20s are much easier managed than your Olympic athletes or your world championship athletes later in life. So look, I was learning all the time, just learning, and indeed through the years running, and you change your attitude, you change your approach, you learn, and you even subconsciously you change your approach. And I'm sure that from all the experiences that you have, and indeed other experiences in life, so that was kind of the way I approached it.
Is being a team manager in athletics, it strikes me as maybe been a little bit like being a referee in football, that your best days are when nobody knows you're there, that it's making sure all the logistics work absolutely perfectly and been behind the scenes, been a shoulder to cry on or a right word at the right time for the athletes, that actually you don't need to be front and centre, you just need to make sure their life is as straightforward as possible.
Yes, indeed, and you've got to hope that it's going to run smooth, and as you say, you've got to be there when it's in the good times and the bad times, and the good days and the bad days, but you've always got to be expecting that there's going to be something unexpected, and if you ever switch off, then you can be caught very easily. And, that was something I kind of kept a very sharp eye on. Just got to keep the concentration right through every championship, because championships, as you well understand, can run for 7-8 days. And, you're going to be there days previous. So maybe you're going to be in a camp somewhere in the world before that. So it's probably a three-week job, So basically, if you can keep under the radar and keep the thing going and push your athletes out to tell the good news, that's brilliant. But obviously it doesn't always happen like that. And you've got to, you've got to spin some angles if things aren't going your way. And sometimes you've got to tell it straight as it is too, and take responsibility. So look, it's a variant story, as depending on what's happening on the particular day, you know.
Yeah, we'll get on to some of the good stories, and I touched on the amount of medals that were won on during your time. In terms of the difficult days and days you have to spin it straight, and the days where things happened that you just couldn't predict, no matter how meticulous you're planning, like what were the difficult days?
Well, funny enough, the difficult days don't come to mind as easy as good days. You know, difficult days you handle and you move on. It's mainly the difficult days are dealing with the individual. You know, and you know, people, you're always continually asked in this game, you know, because of my longevity in the business, you know, what was the outstanding issues and all of this. But really, it's about the personal story, about the personal athlete, about the athlete who's put their life on hold to be there and is playing extremely hard and has ambitions for themselves. And, you know, it's about dealing with them on a one-to-one. And obviously you have developed a relationship over a number of years at various championships, at various training camps, and in an ongoing conversation through the year with them. So, you know, it's about every athlete. It's about the individual story. It's about the result. It's about the non-result. It's about the mistakes. It's about the things that went well. And in my case, it was about calling it as I seen it. And, you know, there was no point in fudging the issues. You may not have just made it straight to them once they walked off the track, but at some point in the day, you got your message through that was never going to work the way they were approaching it. So, look, it was always going to be something like that. That was my approach anyhow, and that actually tended to work well, because you know, then when you did give them the praise, they knew it was clear, you know. So that was my approach.
Obviously Ireland's greatest athlete Sonia O'Sullivan is someone you worked with consistently throughout your career. When was the first time you met Sonia?
Well, away, let me think, we're going so far back. Well, the first of course there was European Cups, there was stuff like European Championships and stuff like that. But I suppose the big memory story is the Olympic Games, and that was the one that will be remembered by everybody in Ireland. And it was a time in Ireland, of course, Nathan, when the world stopped completely and absolutely for this particular athlete and the Olympic Games, and so far from home and so on. So, I mean, that was the key memory. Of course, there were cross-country results, World and European Championship results. There was all of that as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was, Sydney jumps at you, you know, it really jumps out at you.
That Olympic Games, the Sydney Olympics in 2000, where Sonia goes and wins the silver medal, considering what had happened 4 years earlier and the huge both personal disappointment for her and just disappointment for the entire country, because she was so beloved of so many people, what was it like in Sydney knowing the expectation that was around Sonia from a managerial point of view? I know she had her own people around her as well, but ensuring that this time when she got to the track that everything was absolutely perfect.
Well, my memory is a couple of different things about that particular day, 24 hours or whatever. It was just controlling the nerves, not only her situation, but my own. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it was serious tense because it was an Olympic final, obviously. It was 120,000 people in the stadium. It was everybody back at home waiting. And the games had been going on. We hadn't, you know, some had stuck. There wasn't all that many great achievements. So everything was down to her. And in the end. So my memories have just been me trying to control my own emotions because in the approach, so that my mentality wouldn't get through to her, because I was under pressure, obviously, as well. And it was down to the two of us to leave the village, to get to the stadium, to get to the warm-up.
What was Sonia like during those moments?
In those moments, she was quiet.
You there wouldn't
definitely
be much talk between you?
Not very much talk, and I had to think before I spoke. I remember that clearly. And everybody had left the village, because all the Irish competitors and all of the sports had left the village, and they were heading into Watch, and so we were left behind, and so we caught the bus and you go, and we grabbed a space and onto the stand, and I remember it clearly, because I had kind of pre-planned it in many ways, and I didn't want her out in the warm up too early, so I remember I had this place sorted out for her, and I left her there, and She had her bag with her and all, so I just you know, basically just lie there. She had a book, read it. I kissed her and I left her and I said, I'll be back when it's time to warm up. And you stay, you relax and stay there. So I had that aspect of the light of that particular day under control. And I went out into the warm-up area and watched the various people on that particular Monday night getting ready. And then when it was time to go, I was in and said, right, Sonia, it's time to go. Let's get this warm-up going here. And then you do your job. You just hang around and you wish her luck. And once you go down the tunnel, she's on her own big time, you know.
And what was your what were your emotions like when she crossed the finish line?
Well, funny enough, I was immediately disappointed because, you know, she came off that bend and she came to Chabot and you always thought she was going to get that yard. You just believed and you thought, you're standing here, she's going to win this, she's going to win this. And actually, you know, obviously we know she didn't and it was so close. And then I watched her because I was only about 10 metres away and I remember thinking, what is her reaction going to be? And when she settled and got her breath back, she... A smile on her face, and I thought, okay, so if she's happy and she's delighted with this, we roll with this, and we you know, we embraced the whole thing then, and she was happy, and you know, that was it. It was always going to be about her, so it was a memorable night.
Is that a difficult balance to get in your role as to what your reaction should be? Because Olympic Games, World Championships, like they're the pinnacle of athletes' careers, and to get there, even to get there for so many athletes, is an incredible achievement. That if they don't deliver the finishing place that you had hoped or maybe you'd expected, that if they're actually satisfied with how they perform, that you need to be satisfied as well?
Well, you're going to be reacting off them, but I mean, you are going to have your own thoughts, but you know, you're going to have to kind of shadow those thoughts and just roll with the athlete and the reaction of the athlete and deal with the reaction of the athlete. And you hope that, you know, you're dealing with it. You hope that, but it's always going to be immediate. So you know, there's no script for this. So it's probably more experience in my case. You know, I was able to react and, you know, I can remember jumping fences in years gone by for different people and different victories and stuff. And Robert Heffernan, I saw, you know, with about K to go in Moscow, I just took to my heels to get into the stadium and there was no security man going to stop me, you know. So it was like just different. Look, you just react to, and you see, you get so close to your athlete that, to the athletes over the years that it becomes personal, you know, really, in the sense that, and you're in the inner zone, and you know, you either got to control it, you got to hide your disappointment at that time, or you got to just jump over the moon. You know, it's whatever. You can't really write the script. You just got to react.
Getting to spend so much time in that inner circle, particularly around an athlete like Sonia, who got to the very, very top of her game. And like when you're working with other athletes, how much can you take and how much did you take from that time as to what Sonia did and how she approached things? There's obviously a huge amount of natural talent, but when you're talking to younger athletes, would you often go back to what Sonia did and the standard she set herself to try and bring people through?
Well, I mean, her standard was absolutely unique in the sense that she demanded so much from herself. I mean, she would have... She trained so hard. She was a winner, complete and absolutely. I mean, she was everything that you would ever want from she was a young age. And, you know, she never backed off that. And then she was never, ever going to. And, you know, she was just 100% all the time for the major championships and for the major games and for major anything. So, you know, she was totally unique. She was... You know, of course, they were all unique in their own way, but in terms of work ethic, she was serious. I mean, serious in terms of her lifestyle, in terms of her daily routine and all of that. She had it down to a fine art, you know.
Dervla Rourke was another brilliant athlete who you would have spent a lot of time working with, and fascinating athlete in that, even if at times the season wasn't going well for Dervla and she wasn't at her fastest, she had this unbelievable ability, always seemed, to turn up at a major championship and perform. Something that so many athletes struggle with just seemed to come so naturally to her.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's she's an interesting name to take out of the tie because she could get it right at the championships, and she could get herself down into the zone as the championships approached, and you could see it, you could actually physically see it with her in her whole outlook, attitude, response in the days prior, and you really knew by watching her. Subconsciously in many instances, that she was getting more prepared mentally, as the minutes ticked down in the days prior and on the day, and she was serious when it came to, you know, getting the best out of herself at the championships. She was really positive in that respect, and you couldn't take anything away from her. That was exactly as you say, she was able to get the performance out there on the day of the championship, unlike some.
Yeah, that is, I presume, probably the toughest part of the job, because so many athletes just can't control, I guess, the nerves when it comes to it and the sense of occasion, that to have somebody who maybe realised what were the important things in her sport and was able to focus for 4, 5, 6 day spells when it really, really mattered. And other times, maybe it didn't quite matter as much. Like, would you prefer, do you want someone who's always on, or do you want someone who's on in the right times?
Well, you want somebody who's on at the right time, because you're going to be gauged. I mean, every season is gauged on a particular championship, whether it's European, World, Olympics. So it's about that championship, really. For an athlete of that caliber, of that elite nature, you know, it's about that championship. And they themselves will gauge their season on the championship performance, or on the personal best performance, or record-breaking performance. They will be sure on themselves in the sense that, you know, how they gauge it, and, you know, and they're real. As long as they continue to be real and realistic, and don't listen to, you know, sometimes the bullshit. So basically, they've got to remove themselves from all that, and they do, and she did, and that was, you could see that. You could actually see it. Clearly see it.
In the book, the way you talk about some of the athletes, like, it's clearly such a personal relationship, and how couldn't it be? Like, one of the most striking stories is about Rob Heffernan at a world championship, and you being the one having to break to Rob the news that his mother's died.
Yes, that was tough for Rob, of course, and we were in Doha, I think, or wherever. We were in the South Korea anyway, and were in Daegu, and everything was right, and Marion, his wife, was there. She was part of the 4x4 relay. They had just gone for a walk, and the news came through, so that was tough. Yeah, of course that was tough, and of course he didn't accept the news initially, and you know, such a shock to him. And then, you know, you as manager have got to maneuver over a period of maybe minutes, or, you know, half an hour, an hour, to a position where you've got to make arrangements to get him out of there and get him home, because you're on the other side of the world, pretty much in Korea, and, you know, you got to get him back. And, you know, that was interesting from him anyway. We did that and got him out to Istanbul. But basically, the interesting thing there was that we took Marion. She went with him, obviously, the funeral, and we flew her back, and she came back. And I think, from a managerial point of view, I would say, and even I say it myself, I handled that particularly well, because she was coming from an emotional charged position on her own at that particular point, halfway across the world again, a few days later, and to a team, a 4x4 team, that posted a Olympic qualifying time, and I felt that I handled that well, and she responded unbelievably well.
The Olympic qualifying time for a London Olympics that Rob goes to, then obviously the year later, and iconic image of Rob coming down the mall, and he's just absolutely devastated that he ends up finishing fourth. And there's a sense that I think everybody knows at that stage there is probably some issues with the top three. Like, as a team manager, do you just blank out the doping side of it? You can't let your athletes even think about that? Or, like, do you acknowledge it and do you talk about it?
Well, funny enough, the thing, I'm asked about this quite a lot, you know. Pre-games or pre-championships, you don't talk about doping. You don't sit around at the dinner table or the lunch table and talk about doping, because, you know, you with your athletes are being as positive as can be. So rarely ever did the conversation about doping come up. But on this particular occasion, after the race, you were able to be completely real and say to him, and I remember saying this to him, and I put it in the book as well, you know, that this is not over. This is not over, you know. But everybody, there was nobody really listening at that particular time on the mile. There was nobody listening. And, you know, he obviously had an unbelievable personal performance, an unbelievable, brilliant personal performance, but it didn't on that day get him into the top three. But I remember we sat on a beside a tent, and he was devastated. I mean, he was in tears, and you know, you're with him and you're isolated with him, and you know, then you've got to steady him up because you've got to do media, and it's difficult. But anybody that took time to talk to me, I just kept saying, this is not over, and knowing that the Russians weren't clean, you know.
We're short enough on time, Patsy, but just since you've stepped away, I'm sure you're still massively involved in athletics, and we're not going to have an Olympic Games this year, but next year we'll go there, and like thinking of somebody like Ciara McGeehan, like where do you rate her and her chances over the next few years?
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, you're looking back at the World Championships and the fact how well she did there, and that's the best comparison we've got. And you know, I have a particular interest still in two of my club athletes here at Finn Valley, Mark English and Brendan Boyce. I'll, of course, be very interested in them and how the next 12 months will kick in for them. You know, but one of the exciting things about it is that we have another year to go. And, you know, you look forward positively. And particularly now at this stage, you get particularly involved in considering your own athletes that are closest to you now at the moment, which is Boyce and English. But I mean, yes, Ciara McGeehan, of course, she's one of our lead track and field athletes in Barr and so on. So we are limited in Irish athletics right now in terms of key performers at that world and Olympic level. But certainly those three or four athletes are in that square, you know.
It must be. We were chatting to Rhys McGlenahan last week about the gymnast about it, and you know he's very much taking it in his stride. But how every athlete with this delay to the Olympics will take it differently. And like Brendan Boyce is 33 at this stage, an extra year added on. Where Mark English, like who knows what plans he had for the 12 months post Olympic Games? That everything has just been paused. It's got to be a huge stress on the athletes at the moment. All their plans just pushed back 12 months.
You know, what I said a couple of days ago to someone who we had a conversation about this is some people will have lost it now and some people will gain from now. You know, and some people will handle this year better than others. They will all talk it up. They will all talk it as if they are handling it well. But, you know, the delay will suit some and it certainly won't suit others. And there will be others who will come on the scene that we wouldn't even be talking about now. So a year is a year, but you know, as we stand now, people will talk it up and say, you know, and you have to, and you have to be positive, and you have to, you know, have a positive view and say, well, what's another year? And that kind of, you throw away a mark, kind of sums the attitude that you would be throwing out there. But it will work for some and it won't work for others.
Patsy, it's been great to talk to you.
All the best, Ian. Thank you.
Patsy McGonigal there, his book, Relentless, A Race Through Time, I'm sure available online now and well worth a read. Johnny Sexton coming up in a moment, but just to let you know that Lee Keegan is next in front of the Kids of Ireland. He is going to take on the OTB Kids Takeover. You can get your questions in for Mayo's Lee Keegan to WhatsApp 087 9180 180. That's 087 9180 180. You can send them in on video or you can just send in your question. Maybe send in a photo as well and we'll put them all to Lee Keegan early next week. Johnny Sexton's up next.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.